All right. Well, it's good to be home. That's my younger sister. Thank God for the science of photography. Amen. I'm so thankful for Bishop really stirring up and breaking open the atmosphere this morning. It goes right along with what I really feel like the Lord's laid on my heart for this season of time. You know, it's how many have been really laying hold of this word replevant, of taking back what the enemy has taken from us? How many have figured out by now, we're in the eighth month, that it's a battle? As a matter of fact, I think I've had more things stolen from me this year. Come on, how many people? But I'm taking it back. I've had things stolen from me, but it has been one of the most incredibly blessed years for us. We are breaking through. We are breaking out. And every time the enemy steals something from us, I start claiming a replevant. Now, let me give you a key. Your replevant doesn't have to come from the person that stole it from you. Your replevant doesn't have to come from the same situation that you lost in. Amen. I had a situation where I was working and doing a job. I'm a travel agent, a hobby travel agent. I was doing a job, and I actually lost several thousand dollars that should have come to me. And I just said, you know, Lord, I could probably, you know, file a lawsuit or something like that. I don't want to do that. I just want to believe that right now that there is a replevant coming to me from heaven that of everything that should have been mine. And I just want to tell you a funny story. The very next week, I got this really ugly, nasty email in my inbox. And this was this guy, and he was just ripping us and CI and the vision and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I wanted to just minister back to him. But I remember what LaRue taught me, and I said, I bind myself in Jesus' name. And so I just prayed for the man, and then I wrote back to him a very, very nice email. Y'all have been so proud of me, okay? I wrote back a very nice email ministering to this man's heart. You know, because most of the time when people get nasty and ugly, it's because they've got a hurting heart. And so I ministered back to this man's heart and wrote him a long, long email and just prayed for him and ministered to him throughout this whole email. And I got a really, really nice email back from him. This was several months ago. And I didn't know who this man was. I mean, there was a single name on the bottom of, first name on the bottom of this email. And I don't know where he's from. I think he's from Ohio, but I don't know him. He doesn't actually know us personally or anything like that. But I ministered back to him. I want you to know the next month, we got a check in our office addressed to me for $500. And every month since that time, this man has been sending me money. So see, y'all, it pays to be nice. It pays, just be nice, okay? I mean, seriously, this man has been sowing financially into our lives ever since that time. And I claim that as the replevant on that other money that was stolen from me. And I want you to know that to this point, he has paid us now more, can everybody say more, than what was taken from me. Amen? Amen. So what you need to understand is that your replevant doesn't have to come from whatever situation you think owes you, but it comes from the Lord, and the Lord makes sure that the devil gives it back. Amen. So I'm believing it doesn't have to come from this man, but I'm believing for sevenfold on what should have been mine. Because you know the Old Testament principle says if a thief comes at you one way, then he'll flee before you seven ways. If he steals from you, he shall return sevenfold. And so I want to encourage you that even though it's been a battle, I want to encourage you to continue to press in and to believe God. Because the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of the year and said that this was going to be a year of taking back what the enemy had taken from us. Amen? But then he also said the first 6 months were going to be a year of battling through. And y'all have heard me preach on breakthrough, breaking through what the enemy has his frontline defense. But then in the seventh month of the year, in the second half of the year, the battle was going to shift from battling to survive to battling to plunder. I want you to know we're in that shift right now. We just came through the seventh month. We have actually shifted from battling to survive to battling to plunder. Now, the thing with being prophetic is that you see the shift before you often see it manifest. So just because we just came through the seventh month, and maybe you perhaps did not see the full manifestation of the shift that you're looking for, I want to tell you that shift has taken place in the spirit, and we need to get our faith focused and know that we're not battling to break through. We're not battling to survive. We are now battling to take back. We're battling to plunder. We're battling to possess. Things have changed, whether you see it in your circumstance or not. Everything is now different. Now, when I was traveling down to Costa Rica with Cindy Jacobs in May, the Lord said that I am raising my people up to be recovery agents. And so I'm going to preach a little bit about that later on today, but I really started pondering the fact that God has called us to be kingdom of God agents in the earth. So let me give you the definition of this word agent. It is one who is authorized to act on the behalf of another, a representative or official of a government, a form or a substance which causes change. If you'll put that first screen up for me. How many here, you are some form of an agent in your profession? A real estate agent, a financial agent, a travel agent. What else is there? So my husband said sports agent. Okay, you're not there just to represent yourself. You are there to act on the behalf of another. Well, let me tell you something. With what you're battling through right now, it really isn't about you. We need to understand that we are kingdom agents, and that if we will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto us. We are anointed and appointed to be kingdom agents. And I want to talk about three aspects of being a kingdom agent this morning. And the first one is that I believe that we are called to be change agents. Change agents in the earth. If things are going to change in the world, they're going to change because you and I go out there as agents of the kingdom of God, as spiritual legislators, releasing and forbidding, binding and loosing, and decreeing what can take place and what cannot take place. Now, the church has not been wise to this in the past, and we have just sat back and let a lot of things happen in our sphere of influence and our sphere of authority, because we didn't recognize that we were anointed and appointed as kingdom agents in this earth system to begin to bring change. Amen. How many have something in your life, in your surrounding, in your community, in your workplace that you would like to see change? Some of y'all need to get a vision. Come on. If it's going to change, it's going to change because we're going to carry the anointing of change inside of us. Amen. Now, the Lord said, I am the Lord, I change not. As for the rest of you, you're going to be in a constant process of change. How many like change? See, nobody raises their hand hardly. Just a few people. There's a few of them. You know, you get an apostolic prophetic church, you get people that love change for change's sake, even if it doesn't make any sense. Come on. But how many like change if it's purposeful and if it's productive and if it brings you into a place of breakthrough? How many are willing to go through the pain of change if it's going to bring you to the new level? Amen. Well, that's the place that we're living right now, is that we have got to embrace change as change agents so that we can then go out. We've got to let God change us so that we can go out and begin to change the world. Amen. Now, this word change has a parallel word that I love to use, and it's the word revolution. And revolution means to bring a radical and pervasive change in society and the social structure. It is one that often occurs suddenly. How many are looking for some suddenlies of God? I mean, it is time for the suddenlies to be released. Amen. It is one that often occurs suddenly and is often accompanied by violence. This morning, there was an anointing for spiritual violence being stirred up in the people of God. I could see apathy, complacency, lethargy just falling off of you today. And you putting on the mantle of the warrior of God. Amen? Now, there were a few people that were visiting that slipped out. That's okay. We had to do what God called us to do here this morning. Amen. We're going to be worshipers and we're going to be warriors. Amen. Because God has called us to be spiritual revolutionaries. And Matthew 11 verse 12 says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent do what? Take it by force. It says in the NIV, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. How many want to lay hold of all that God is doing in this next season? I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss one thing. I don't want to draw back because I'm tired of the battle. The battle is shifted. Look at your neighbor and tell them the battle is shifted. There's a greater energy to battle to possess than there is to battle to survive. When you're battling to survive, you're dealing with hopelessness and you're dealing with fear and you're dealing with disappointment and discouragement and all that. But when you're battling to possess, there's an anticipation of the Spirit. And every time that we battle, it's not just God help us get through the next day, but it's God, I'm battling to plunder. Amen. God has called us not to be thermostats not to be thermometers that read the temperature of our environment, but to be thermostats that set the temperature of our environment. Amen. And if you're dealing with a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of oppression, I'm encouraging you to begin to release the anointing of the Spirit of God that's inside of you. I'm encouraging you to go out into your workplace, go out into your community, go out into the schools as the schools are opening up over this month. Go out and begin to release the anointing of God that's inside of you. You might look at yourself and say, you know, I don't know if I can bring change. You carry the change maker inside of you. Amen. You carry the revolutionary. Jesus was a revolutionary. He brought radical change everywhere he went. People either loved him or they hated him. Is that true? So I want to talk about a passage out of 2 Kings chapter 6. And I did not put the scripture on the overhead, so I hope you're still bringing your Bibles to church. If you didn't, you'll just have to pray in tongues and believe that God will give you the insight. But I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to talk. I prophesied at our Wednesday night service. And let me just encourage you. You guys need to be here on Wednesday nights. There is awesome things that are happening on our Wednesday night services. But I prophesied on Wednesday night about the four lepers that break through besiegement. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today, is breaking through besiegement. This comes out of that prophetic word that God gave to me about joining heaven to earth and earth to heaven. And I really believe that what we were doing here this morning is we were releasing a sound in the earth that's causing heaven to respond with the sound. And then we're going to see heaven respond back to the earth, and the earth is going to produce another sound. Amen? And it's going to be that sound of plunder, that sound of breaking through. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and look at them and say, I am anointed to bring change. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 6, this is the story of the besiegement of the city of Samaria. And there was a king of Syria, and his name was Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad. And he laid siege to the city of Samaria. Now, I want you to see what his name means. He was his name, Ben-Hadad, actually is the name of the Syrian sun god. Hadad was the Syrian sun god. This is a Baal type. How many know that we've been talking about overthrowing the Baal systems in this season of time? This is a Baal typology. But look what his name means. Sharp, fierce, thundering, the maker of a loud noise. Do you know that your enemy is making a loud noise? Your enemy is making a noise that sounds like poverty. Your enemy is making a noise that sounds like hopelessness. Your enemy is making a noise that's declaring sickness and disease. Your enemy is making a noise that sounds like depression and oppression and heaviness. That's why we had to make a noise this morning, because the enemy is making a loud noise to try to drown out this new sound that God is releasing in the earth today. Come on, I can hear the sound of the river coming down. I can hear the sound of the heavens splitting open and the windows of heaven opening and God pouring out an abundance. But the enemy is releasing a sound, and it is a sound of besiegement. This word besiege is a Hebrew word which means to confine or to cramp. It's an adversary, an enemy to bind up, to assault, to distress, or to enclose. In besiegement, you get circled all around about. And I'll tell you what else happens in besiegement is that there's the sound of fear. I can remember when we first moved onto Hammond Avenue, we were the first house, and it was just built down a dirt road, 12 years ago. Just built down a dirt road. There were no phone lines yet back there that we had moved in, and we were still in the process of getting phone lines and full power because we had to move in because Hurricane Opal hit, and we moved in early. But I can remember being in the house, and the kids probably remember this too. There was a pack of wild dogs that lived out in the woods. And one night, we were in the house, and we had very limited power because we'd moved in before our certificate of occupancy because of the hurricane, and the building inspectors were okay with that. But we had limited lights in the house, and all of a sudden, this pack of wild dogs surrounded our house. And they were howling. Do you remember that, Crystal? They were barking and howling, and we couldn't see them, but we could hear them. And it was a terrifying sound. And many times that's what the enemy is. You can't even see him, but you hear his sound that he's releasing. And the sound that he's releasing is geared to shut you down, put you in fear, get you out of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It actually aligns you in sin because you're aligned with fear because you're hearing the sound of the attacker. And God wants to break us out of this besieged mentality into the mentality of breakthrough. We sing about breakthrough, but many times we're living in a reality where we're dealing with a besiegement. So in this season, God is moving us from besiegement into breakthrough. Amen? From besiegement. Say that. From besiegement into breakthrough. Now, read with me in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and they indeed besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab of dove's droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you?" That's the way it is in besiegement, from the threshing floor, from the wine press. Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give me your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes. And as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body, a sign of mourning. Then he said, 'God do so to me and more also if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today.'" Now, let's look at real quick. You go to the next slide. Several things to recognize about besiegement. Number one, the situation always looks hopeless. Do you have that next screen up? Put that next screen up. Number one, the situation always looks hopeless. In the natural, it's going to look like the odds are against you. Number two, it will either make you give up or become desperate for God to show up. And some days you may have a little of both. Come on, let's just be honest, all right? Number three, it often causes us to blame God, godly leaders, friends, and family for our trouble. Sometimes we may even blame the word of the Lord. What did this king do? He found his city besieged and he said, "If I just had that prophet, man, I just cut his head off." How many of you have ever experienced a shift after a great prophetic word over your life, and it didn't seem to shift for the good? It seemed like God spoke, and then all hell broke loose against you. I am telling you that the enemy immediately hears the word of the Lord go forth, and the enemy wants to make sure that you do not enter in to the fullness of the destiny and the purpose that God has for you. But what do? Do we blame the prophet? Do we blame the prophetic word? Do we say, "I wish I'd have never gotten that prophecy"? No, God gave you the prophecy because he wanted to show you what he was purposing for you in that moment of time. The prophecy wasn't the problem. The prophecy was the promise. And we've got to align with the promise instead of the problem. But problem is, most of you, or many of you, find yourself in times, myself included, where we find ourselves aligning with the problem more than the promise. Because the problem stares us in the face every single day. Come on, am I talking real? It stares us in the face every day. That's why we cannot afford to align with the problem, because where the problem is, there is fear and there is discouragement and there is hopelessness. But if you align with the promise, there is faith and there is hope and there is victory. Number four, you can't live in besiegement for long. You either have to break through or you'll die. That's the truth of a besieged city. And we need to beware against the deception of survival mentality. I'm just surviving and that's good enough. It's not good enough. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus declared, "The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and not just life, abundant life." Amen. I don't want to just survive through this world. I want to experience abundant life in my family, in my soul, in my life, in my ministry, in every endeavor, financially, everything that we do. I believe that there is a promise to us of abundant life. So we need to ask ourselves, are we aligning to the problem or are we aligning to the promise? Look at something else about besiegement. In besiegement, you're in danger of eating three things: donkey's heads, which is mule-headed thinking. Do you know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result? Come on, God may be stirring you during this season of time. Number two, they ate dove's dung. Ooh. You know what that is? That's what's left over when the dove is gone. Some of you are living on things that God did for you 2 years ago. Some of you are living out of an experience, a visitation, a presence of God that happened to you a year ago or 6 months ago. I'm telling you, we have got to live in the presence of God with the Holy Spirit showing up in our life every single day. We can't live on last week or last month. As awesome as the call is, we can't live on that experience. We have to be creating new experiences, new visitations, new portals in heaven where heaven and earth are joined together over our life, and start looking forward to the expectation of our next visitation with the Spirit of God. When you're in besiegement, you're always looking back at what was instead of forward at what God's getting ready to do. And then what did they start eating? They ate the next generation. They started eating their children. We're in a society that devours its children. It blessed my heart to see 30 and unders up here. It's like a third of our church. Hallelujah. We're committed to raising up the next generation. We're committed to seeing the next generation rise up and begin to fulfill their destiny. But not because we're going to quit. I remember Bishop always saying that he expects his sons and his daughters to pass him up, but he's not slowing down. So if they're going to run with us, they're going to have to run hard. We're still running hard to catch Bishop. Some of y'all need to run hard to catch us and then catch Bishop. Come on, we're going to run hard, but we're committed. Now, these are things to recognize about besiegement. Look at some of these things to know about breakthrough. Number one, it involves the faith and the courage of individuals. You've got to be willing to take some risks. It's just like a soldier fighting for independence, fighting for freedom. There are no battles that are won without somebody taking a risk. Amen? So it's a risk-taking kind of faith during this season of time. Number two, it involves advancement rather than retreat. Like when a fighter gets back into a corner, he's got a choice to be knocked out or to come out swinging. Did you see Bishop having a swinging this morning? Some of you have literally been backed into a corner, and I could just see you putting your boxing gloves on this morning when he had to start swinging our fists. I know that maybe to the onlooker that doesn't understand what we're doing, that might look foolish, but I'm telling you that there are spiritual actions that we are doing in the natural that is literally causing God to begin to release a new grace and a new breakthrough that's coming upon us. So even though it might look foolish in the natural, let me just say we were swinging to come out of the corner that the enemy tried to back us into. It involves advancement rather than retreat. Number three, it involves receiving and releasing the anointing of the double portion and the government of authority. Elisha, his name means the double portion. His name actually means my God is wealth, but he's the prophet of double portion. And Shaphath means to judge or to govern. There's an anointing for governance that God has given us. There's an anointing for dominion that God has given to us. And many times we can feel so overwhelmed by a sickness that we're struggling with a fear that we're struggling with financial pressures that we're struggling with family situations that we're struggling with, that we forget that we are anointed to walk in this earth with the authority and the dominion of the Spirit of God as our mantle. My circumstance does not define my destiny. My battle does not define my destiny, but my victory will. Amen? Stay in the battle. Stay in the battle. Number four, breakthrough is not the end of the matter. It's a beginning. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're just now beginning. It's not a time to rest. It's a time to press. All right? Now, look in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now remember, they're in besiegement, so what Elisha's saying seems to be impossible in the natural. But that's what the prophetic does. It begins to speak the impossible into the realm of possibility. Hear the word of the Lord. Tomorrow this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven. Does that sound familiar? Malachi chapter 3. God's supernatural abundant provision. If the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? In other words, he was doubting. He was mocking. And he said, in fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it. I could almost hear Bishop, as he was prophesying this morning, talking about drilling down 3 more feet, drilling down to hit the mother lode, drilling down to find that place of breakthrough. And I could hear in the spirit the enemy saying, we've done things like this before, and it didn't bring the change. Maybe God did bring the change, but you weren't positioned to receive the change. He said to the king, you're going to see it, but you're not going to get it. Oh my gosh. I hope that I don't ever find myself in a position where I'm seeing the spirit of breakthrough, the anointing, the season of breakthrough breaking loose on everybody else, but because I mocked and doubted in my heart and I didn't get to receive or partake of it. We need to be careful what we're allowing into our heart to rise up during this season of time. Now, verse 3, it says, now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? I like it better how King James says it. This is New King James. But they said, why sit we here till we die? If we say we will enter the city, remember the city's besieged, the famine is in the city, and we're going to die there. And if we sit here, we're going to die too. These weren't just starving men. These were leprous men. They had a death sentence over their life already. Okay? Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. Now, I just want you to see, these were not men of great faith. Matter of fact, I'm kind of surprised that God even showed up at all. But you know what it says to me? It says to me, it doesn't take all that. Sometimes God's just looking for us to do something. They said, let's go surrender to the army of the Syrians. Listen to their great faith. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Yeah, I just love their powerful faith. Hallelujah. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise. To hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. Remember, Ben-Hadad's name means to make a great noise. But how many believe God can make a greater noise than the enemy makes? Amen? The Lord had caused them to hear the noise of chariots, the noise of horses, and the noise of a great army. And they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to attack us. They were hearing this sound. Just like I heard those dogs barking, I couldn't see it, but I heard a sound, and it stirred fear. See, now if you flip that on the enemy, you understand that God is going to cause the demonic forces, the demonic structures that have been arrayed against us, they're going to start hearing a sound in the spirit that's going to put fear in their hearts, and they're going to start scattering and fleeing. We need to get a revelation of the sound of the enemy, but we need to get a revelation of the sound of God that's going to drive confusion into the camp of our enemy and begin to cause them to flee. So they said to one another, verse 7, therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank. And they carried from it silver and gold and clothing. And they went and they hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Now, before we continue to read, I want to give you several aspects of the four lepers acting as change agents. How many would agree with me that these guys were not like some great hero that we would try to measure ourselves up to? How many maybe even feel like I can actually relate to these guys? Come on. Some of you are looking for your options right now. And the Lord's saying, hey, look what I did with four lepers. Look what I did by four lepers just getting up and doing something. So let's take a look at some of these guys that brought such tremendous change and actually caused a breaking of besiegement. Number one, they acknowledged the reality of their circumstance. Now, I want to point that out, that that's important, but you can't just stay there. Okay, that's a starting point, but you can't stay there. Some of you are so consumed by the reality of your circumstance that you can't see the supernatural reality of your circumstance. Number two, they refused to do nothing. In other words, they broke off the spirit of passivity. That's what Bishop did this morning by getting all of you guys stirred up. He was breaking you out of passivity and breaking you into a warrior mode. You know how the enemy comes in? Because we start feeling stalemated. We start feeling like I've done everything that I know to do. How many have ever felt I've done everything that I know to do and I'm still not getting breakthrough? Then you might need to ask the Lord, what do I do next? Because God's always got a next step. I just don't see God up there twiddling thumbs or saying, thus says the Lord, sit and twiddle your thumbs and wait. Come on. There's a season that God's saying, you feel like you've done everything that you needed to do. Now take the next step. Ask God, what's your next step? Even if their actions seemed to be surrender, they came to their end, to the end of themselves. There's a season where God's been bringing you to the end of yourself. My strength, my power, my faith, my ability, my wisdom. God's emptying us out of ourselves so that we can become empty vessels, so that he can pour his anointing into us and fill us full to overflowing of his spirit, of his wisdom, of his way, of his power, of his authority, of his provision. Amen? Now look, number three, they rose up and marched towards the camp of the enemy. They marched towards the camp of the enemy. A lot of the church is marching, but they're marching the wrong way. Come on, we need to start marching towards the camp of the enemy. Number four, when they arose, God arose. When they arose, God arose. So when those four leprous men, y'all know what leprosy is? These guys didn't have noses or ears. Their fingers had fallen off. I mean, they may have been leaving parts all along the way as they were marching. Come on, this is the most unlikely people that could possibly bring breakthrough, and yet God used them to liberate a whole city. When they arose, God arose, and their action joined earth to heaven and heaven to earth. Because what happened is when they started marching, God mobilized the armies that are in heaven. How many know that there are armies in heaven? The Lord of hosts. When you hear the Lord of hosts, that means that he is the captain of the armies of heaven. that are mobilized for war. That's literally what Lord of Hosts means. So the Lord of Hosts began to march with the four lepers, the whole armies of heaven, and then the camp of the Syrians heard it, and they started trembling. Oh my gosh, the king of Samaria has hired the enemies against us, and they're surrounding us. And they fled, and they left all their stuff. They left all their stuff. They took off for their lives because fear came over the camp of the enemy. Fear is coming over the camp of your enemy. Confusion is coming over the camp of your enemy. The same thing that the enemy has tried to afflict you with, now the enemy's being afflicted with. Come on. That's praying the curse back on their own heads. We don't pray that for people. Don't pray that for people. Don't curse people. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Flesh and blood is not our enemies. We are battling in the spirit. Sickness is an enemy. Poverty is an enemy. Those that steal from you are not your enemies. The devil is your enemy. And the devil's the one that has to repay. Now, that's why we shout. You know, a couple of years ago we had several people challenge us. Why do you all have to do all that shouting? It makes visitors nervous. But I'll tell you why we shout. Because Scripture says God has gone up with a shout. It says God arises amid shouts of praise. And then it says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. How many need to see God arise in your life? That's why we shout. It may seem crazy. It may not seem politically correct or socially correct according to people that are out there, or even denominationally correct, people that come in that go, whoo, what is all this noise? Why we shout is because it's scriptural. God rises up when we shout. It is an earthly action that causes heaven to stand up. And I don't know about you, but when I'm in a situation that I need God to show up, I need to do whatever I need to do to cause him to stand up. Amen? Now, we need to ask ourselves, what is God asking us individually to do that's going to cause God to arise in our life? You need to decide, what is it that God has called me to change? Listen. In a church like this, we're in a season of change. I preached a message once about the caterpillar, the process of the caterpillar going into the place of a butterfly. And the caterpillar grows and then sheds its skin, goes through seasons of shedding its skin. We're in a season of shedding our skin right now. It's a good season. We're sending people. Next week we'll be sending Bonnie to Israel. Last week we sent the Abrahams to Jacksonville. It's a season of shedding right now. We've got people going. It's okay. It's part of the process of God. But after that, the caterpillar has to go into a cocoon, which is a place of rapid transformation, and then it breaks out into a transformed being. That's what's happening right here with CI. We're in a season of growth. We're in a season of a spiritual metamorphosis. Because if you've heard the prophetic words, we're getting ready to blow the doors out of this place and to multiply and to expand and to increase. And this place is going to be full, and we're going to be continuously sending out to the nations. And we're going to be sending into South Walton High School. Sending into the marketplaces around this area, into the banks, into the grocery stores. Sending you to be God's kingdom ambassadors, to bring change. I have to apologize to our church because I released a new book. It's got an old name, but it's a new book. And I didn't ever tell y'all about it. I think I told the world about it and didn't tell y'all about it. And I'm just really sorry about that. This is my new book called The Deborah Company. How many read The Old Deborah Company? And it's called The Deborah Company, Becoming a Woman Who Makes a Difference. And I really believe that God is stirring up men and women all over the world right now that are choosing areas that need to have change and doing something about it. Doing something about it. I think of a lady that writes in this book. It's very, very different from the first Deborah Company book. So I'm going to actually ask the ushers to come up, and I'd like to give a copy to every woman, one per family, please, but to every woman that's here. And so just lift up your hand until you get your copy. And if you're a single man and you want to read it, then to help you understand women, then I'll give you a copy too, okay? Hallelujah, all right? all these men are going, yes, Jesus, I want to understand women. But you know, I had different women write in this book, like Iqbal Massey. She's a woman over in Pakistan that started looking and seeing that there was a plight on some of the women over in Pakistan, that once they became Christians, they became targets for all kinds of rape. Once they found out they were Christian, they rape them, they mutilate them, they burn them, they do all kinds of things to Christian women that are paying a price for becoming Christians over in the Middle East and areas like Pakistan. So what she decided to do was she decided to make a difference. And so this woman began to open up. Do we need more books? They'll go and get some more. They'll go and get some more. This woman began to go and open up sewing centers where the women could come, Christian women could come, they could live, they could learn, and they could work. And so I'm actually part of the board of the National Deborah Company with Cindy Jacobs. And at this point, we've actually contributed money to build 5 sewing centers, which are, I think each sewing center is employing about 20 women. Amen? You know what? There's something we can do to make a difference. In here, we talk about Nancy Alcorn. Y'all know how much I love Mercy Ministries. There's a whole write-up in here about how God spoke to her to begin to have this home that would help troubled girls, because she was getting all this great spiritual truth, and she was like, God, I want to use this spiritual truth to help set them free. And so she started Mercy Ministries. And I just want to say this. Mercy Ministries has bought 12 acres on 331, and they're in the process right now of working towards closing that property on 331, South Walton County. Amen. I think their plan is to put in a 40-bed home for these girls for whose lives are getting transformed. And we were just up at Mercy last month, in the month of June, and they were saying that at any given day, they've got applications for 600 to 700 girls whose lives are hanging in the balance. Right now, Nancy's got, I think, she's got Mercy homes in 6 continents, not 6 continents, but 6 countries, and she's got 3, and she's got 1 almost ready to open out in California. But there's a great need. So we're not going to receive an offering, but this is what I want you to do. If the Lord really lays on your heart to sow towards Mercy Ministries, when I'm wrapping up here, I want you just to make out a check. You can make it out to the church, and we'll give them a check. But I think that it would be really appropriate. Oh, yeah, let's just take an offering. Is that all right? I know we already kind of took a couple offerings, but y'all don't go home and say that church took 3 offerings, okay? I just think that it's really important that we sow into this that's right here in our county, right? It's not our ministry. How many know that when we bless somebody else, that it starts bringing breakthrough for us? What is it that we can do to make a change? Let me just say this to you. Pick something. Pick something, focus on it, and make a change. Pick something, focus on it, and make a change. Sometimes you make a change by giving money. Sometimes you make a change by giving time and life. Let me just say this. Prophetic team members, stand up all over this place. People that have functioned on prophetic teams. Every week that you're showing up on a Friday night, you are making a change in people's lives. Deliverance teams, you guys stand up. Deliverance team members, you guys stand up. Every single week that you guys come and minister to people and pour out the word of the Lord and begin to minister life, you are bringing change. I can't tell you how much the prophetic word and deliverance and the power by the Spirit and the things that God has given us to do here is bringing radical change into people's lives. Amen? Now, I've got usher standing ready. Okay, we'll do this the formal way, and then we'll wrap this up. Okay, if you need an offering envelope, raise your hand. If you're giving cash, sorry, guys, that I didn't tell you I was doing this. And then if you're writing out a check, just make it out to CIFC and we'll give them 1 check. But I believe it is one of the most worthy causes. I am seeing girls' lives that were hanging between death and life. Every single time I go to a home, every single time I minister the word of the Lord, I see God delivering these girls from death into life. We are making a change. Amen. And I am thrilled to have a Mercy home coming up right here, just a few miles from where we live. Amen. And to see God raising that up in this territory, because God said that this territory was supposed to be a territory of restoration. Amen. And I believe that's just 1 sign. So we're going to be change agents. All right. go ahead and receive the offering. You can just start passing the baskets. Father, I just bless this seed, Lord. It's not for us. It's to bless others, Lord. It's to bless others that are not able to bless themselves. Let me just say this too. Nancy Alcorn is the head of Mercy Ministries. It costs $300 per day to take these girls. $300 per day. And Nancy felt the directive from the Lord that she was never to take money from these girls. Ever. Never charge these girls for care. Because she said, then you would be profiting off their pain. The Lord said, if you'll believe me, I'll provide you the money. So she serves the Lord every single day. She's single-handedly raising the money to provide the care for these girls. There's no government money. The Lord told her no government money, no strings attached money. Amen. This woman is doing an awesome, awesome work, saving the lives of the next generation. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Those of you that got the Deborah Company, you can read about the vision of Mercy Ministries in here on page 39. We just have a few more minutes because we're going to do something at the very end here. But we're going to be change agents. Number two, we're going to be intelligence agents. Intelligence agents, okay? Why do I bring up intelligence agents? Because, see, the intelligence agents, like Dan was an intelligence agent, Pastor Dan. He was a Secret Service guy. Secret Service people, CIA, FBI, they have special intelligence. And I believe that it's time, some of you are just praying, God, just give me some intelligence, okay? I understand that, all right? But this is a season that God wants to release a release of supernatural intelligence to us. See, when you look up what Samaria means, Samaria meant the place of the watchtower. The place of the watchtower. That's the place of prayer and intercession. That's the place of watching. See, the enemy wants to besiege our ability to discern, our ability to hear, our ability to see into the spirit. And back in chapter 6, if you remember, Elisha was spying into the camp of the enemy. Do you remember that? Elisha was spying into the camp of the enemy, and when he spied into the camp of the enemy, the Lord kept showing him the ambushment plans that he had, that the king Ben-Hadad had. And so Elisha would blow his cover, blow his strategy, and the king said, hey, somebody, we've got a spy in the camp. And they said, it's not a spy, it's that prophet Elisha. And he said, well, then go kill him. So it says that at night he sent the people down and they surrounded him. And his servant looked out the window and said, in the morning, and said, oh my gosh, we're surrounded, we're besieged. But I want to just show you the difference when the prophet got besieged. Hear what I'm saying. He got besieged with the exact same armies that besieged Samaria. But look at what the prophet did. This is what the prophet said to his servant. Don't worry, be happy. You'd think he was from Jamaica, right? No problem, man. He said, don't worry, there are more that are with us than are with them. There are more that are with us than are with them. And his servant looked back out the window and thought Elisha had lost his mind. Because everywhere he looked, there was the army of the enemy. But then Elisha, this is how Elisha responded to besiegement. He said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And it says that he opened his eyes and he looked and he saw that surrounding the camp of the enemy were the armies of God, the hosts of God. And there, in fact, were more that were with them than were with the camp of the enemy. See, it wasn't that there wasn't a reality to their besiegement, but there was a higher reality. It wasn't that there wasn't a natural truth to their circumstance, but what they needed to do is see the supernatural truth, which was greater. The supernatural truth, which was greater. And some of you have been so besieged, you've forgotten to look towards the supernatural truth. Amen? So we need that special intelligence. Now, and hitting this, I just want to say that Apostle Tom had a dream in March that we've told you about. Remember the dream? And I'll tell it for those that weren't here. He had a dream where he saw a group of business people. And I believe that this was really a very prophetically insightful special intelligence dream. He saw a group of business people gathered together in a room. And this guy that was standing up talking, the man had a very seducing spirit over what he was saying. And he was basically making all these promises to people, get rich quick kind of scheme. And my husband said he just, in the dream, listening to this man, he just didn't feel right. So the man left, and he went to the woman that was in charge of the group, and he said, what is this man's name? She says, well, I don't know. And he says, well, you need to ask him his name. You need to make him tell you his name. So when he came back in, the woman said, sir, what is your name? And he just smiled at her. And she said, tell me your name. And he smiled at her again, and he said, well, I'm known by many names. He said, some people call me Kronos. Other people call me Beelzebub. And other people call me Pride. And we knew when he woke up from that dream that God had revealed something to us. So we looked this up. And the word Kronos is a Greek word that's used in Scripture that denotes time, the passage of time. So I looked it up, and this is what it says, the passage of time. And then when you continue with the definition, it says it implies delay. Now, how many know that we've been battling a spirit of delay? We've been battling it. And I don't believe just in this church. I believe the body of Christ is battling it. And I believe that territories are battling a spirit of delay. I believe our territory is battling a spirit of delay. Now, how do you find yourself in wrong alignment with the spirit of delay is that you start giving in to doubt and disappointment. If you start getting into discouragement, doubt, and disappointment, you'll find yourself in alignment with delay. Then if you see Beelzebub, that we know that that is the New Testament name. It's actually a New Testament name that denotes Baal, Lord of the Flies. It's a spirit of harassment. And we know that it shows up where there's death. We've got to deal with the root of bitterness in our heart. We can't just war against these things without battling the things in our own hearts that are anchoring these things in our life and holding us back from our blessing. Any place where there's been death, death of a vision, disappointment, bitterness, resentment, hatred, we need to deal with it. It's death dealing, and it opens a door to the Lord of the Flies over your life. Whew. Number three, the spirit of pride. Leviathan is called the king of the children of pride. I believe that there's been a spirit of Leviathan at work, bringing twisted, crooked communications, miscommunications between believers, miscommunications between family members, miscommunications in the spirit. And I believe that even for the ministry, I believe that there's been miscommunications. You know, even our church in the community, we're dealing with this again. It's like we thought that we'd beat that a long time ago, but now we're dealing with the same miscommunications over what it is that we do here. You know why mostly? Because we got some kids filled with the Holy Ghost and their parents didn't like it. I figure at least this time we're being accused of something that we did, you know. But you know what? The enemy is stirring stuff up, and we can break the spirit of Leviathan that wants to keep us held in pride, the spirit of presumption, the spirit of independence. I believe that it's time that we need to really break through. So we're going to pray for that in just a minute. And I just want to close by saying this, that we're called to be recovery agents. We're called to be recovery agents. What happened at the end of this is that we know the story is that they went out and they started gathering up the spoil, and they said, this isn't right that we're gathering up all this spoil. We need to go into the city and share it with the city. So the city came out and the city broke through. But the king that had mocked the word of the Lord, he saw the breakthrough, but he got trampled in the gate as the people were rushing out for breakthrough. I believe it's a season for us to plunder. Amen. It's a season for us to enter into plunder. Now, I've given you that book, The Deborah Company. I want to close with this last scripture. This last scripture in Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. It's time to plunder. And I just want to say this. Our plunder is not just our blessing that we need. There is a plundering of the souls of people that it's time to start bringing them into the kingdom of God. Amen. There's a harvest that's out there that is ripe. And I don't want to see this church grow just from other transfer growth of other people. I mean, we'll take that and we'll train and equip the saints. But I believe that there's a new fire that God is releasing to bring a harvest of souls in. Amen. And if that's going to happen, it's going to happen because the people of God get mobilized to go do it. Now, just look at this last thing, because I just gave you Deborah Company books. I want to read you this one last scripture, Exodus chapter 3. In verse 21, this is when the people were coming out of the bondage of slavery. And it says, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be that when you go out, you shall not go empty handed. I just want to point this out. But it says, but every woman. Is that what it actually says? shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and daughters, so shall you plunder the Egyptians. Ladies, let me just say this. I believe that there's a special anointing on you during this season to start plundering, to start plundering, to start getting new strategies. And I believe that God wants to shift us in this season of time as the body of Christ out of a, hear me when I say this, out of a wealth transfer mentality. Because wealth transfer mentality has ended up looking, I believe that there's going to be a wealth transfer. But this is what wealth transfer ends up looking like in the body of Christ. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. Anytime you are. And I believe that instead God wants to release a wealth creation anointing. That God is going to give us creative, innovative ways to plunder and spoil the camp of the enemy. Let's stand to our feet. Father, right now we take authority over these demonic spirits that have been sent against us. Lord, we decree that we are called to be change agents. We are called to take on the anointing of the intelligence agents and to have special discernment and insight. Father, right now we break the spirit of delay. We break the spirit of Beelzebub. We break that spirit of pride right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you've called us into a season of plunder. So I pray, Father God, for that anointing of wealth creation, Father God, for creative, innovative ideas of how to plunder the camp of the enemy, how to begin to get wealth, how to begin to come into a season of breaking open the harvest, of how to new strategies and innovations, Lord God, how to cause growth and multiplication and expansion and increase on every hand. And the people of God said, amen and amen. I want you to say, I believe it and I receive it. It's mine in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have Apostle Tom come and we're going to tell you what we're going to do next. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.
Hallelujah.